Well, let me ask you, do you remember the hopes and dreams that you had when you were younger? Maybe you can go back to your early 20s, perhaps even into your teenage years, and remember all of the things, or at least some of the things, that you looked for in the future. As I look back on those days and think of the things that I hoped for, some of them maybe were always unrealistic. I always imagined that I would be driving a particular car. It was a car you won't have heard of. It was a Westfield S8. And in case you're wondering what one of those is, some of you might remember the Lotus 7. Well, it was a poor man's version of the Lotus 7. I knew I could never afford a Lotus 7, but a Westfield S8, two-seater sports car, a 3.5-litre V8 engine. Maybe that one day would be what I would be driving. Well, I've got a Citroen Berlingo. Not quite in the same league, is it? I had other hopes and dreams. I dreamt and hoped that I would be single in my 30s, and that's gone by the wayside as well, another broken dream. All these hopes and dreams, did you have them too? What happened to those hopes and dreams? Some of them may be fulfilled. Maybe you can look back and see, yeah, my dreams came true. Not many who can say that, but for some of you, maybe that's true. Your dreams came true. Many of your dreams, perhaps like some of mine, have fallen by the wayside long ago, almost forgotten about them. They seem such a distant memory. Perhaps one or two of your hopes and dreams have been far exceeded and life has been even better than you dared hope. If you were here this morning, you'll know that we looked at this theme of hope and the glorious hope that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And this morning we took as our theme, as it were, the reasons for our hope. Why is it that Christians so often speak of hope? Why is it that Christians speak of a hope that is steadfast and certain? And we came up with four reasons. There were plenty more, but for the sake of time, we restricted ourselves to those four reasons. Do you remember what they were, those of you who were here this morning? We started off by reminding ourselves that we can have hope because it means our problem, or shows our problem, is taken seriously by God. That you and I have got these two great problems, the problem of death that we all face. There are medical treatments for all kind of things, but there's no medical treatment for death itself. Every one of us faces it. It's a problem that's looming on our horizons, and the problem that is crouching at the door is the problem of sin and the things that we do that are wrong, in hurting others and even ourselves, the problem of sin when other people do wrong to us. That's the great problems that our world is facing. It's not the euro crisis. It's not the threat of war or redundancy or struggles or difficulties. Those two great problems. And Easter is God's solution to those problems. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's solution to those problems. And it's an incredible solution, isn't it? There are people in Cyprus right now who are thinking, well, this solution to the financial crisis is a really radical one. They're going to take away all my savings. It's a big solution to the problem. Or maybe for those people whose savings are not being taken away now, think, well, it's a big solution. It's very radical. Hopefully this will help. But there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of people who are not sure. There's not a huge amount of confidence. But this solution of God's, that the second person of the Trinity would come from heaven to earth to be born of a virgin, would live that perfect life, would die on the cross, be buried in the tomb, and raised from the dead. Now that's a solution that you can put your trust in, isn't it? That's a solution that shows that God takes the problem seriously. And we can have real hope because of that. But we can have real hope too because Easter shows us that we are loved. It'd be one thing to realize that God was going to solve the problem. But God doesn't just want us to know, as we saw this morning, that he's going to able to solve our problem. He wants us to know more than that. He wants us to know something deeper than that. And we're told, were we not, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. We're told in the book of Romans that by this
We know that God loves us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And God wants us to know that he loves sinners. He wants us to know that we're invited. He wants us to know that we're welcome. He wants us to know that he wants us. And therefore, hope. We can have hope because Easter shows us that we are loved. We saw this morning as well that we can also have hope because Easter proves the power of God. And if we've ever doubted the power of God, and maybe we've looked back at the Old Testament stories and we can say, well, I can see that God is a God who can open the Red Sea. And I can see that God is a God who can provide manna in the wilderness. And I can see that God is a God who is able to do these very powerful things. But is he a God who I can trust with my eternal soul? Is he a God who is able not only to save people in times past, but is he able to save me? Is he someone that I can trust for all eternity? And Easter demonstrates and proves that yes, he is. Easter proves that God himself has power over death. Easter proves that God himself is able to raise people from the dead. And therefore, we can have hope. And we can have hope too because we are promised through Easter future security. Because Easter wasn't just a sense of God saying, look what I can do. But Easter accomplished something. And there as Jesus Christ died on the cross, he bore the sins of every man and woman and boy and girl who ever put their trust in him. And therefore, those who trust in Jesus Christ can have absolute confidence that God will keep them. And that was the passage that we read together earlier, wasn't it, from 1 Peter, when we were told that we have this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. And this evening, what I want to do really is to pick up that final thought from this morning's message of future security. The thought that Peter leaves us with here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, that if we have faith in Jesus Christ, then we will be kept by the power of God. And therefore, that this hope is not something that is fleeting. It's not something that's passing. It's not something just for a time. But it's something for all eternity. Something forever. Something solid. Something secure. And that really is my one point that I want to get across this evening. I'm going to use three different portions of Scripture to help us to understand that one message. Because in three different places in the Bible, actually it's more than three, but again I've limited it to save our time and make sure we can deal with a passage as well. In three different places in the Scriptures, we are told that our hope in Christ is something that is solid and certain and something utterly reliable. And what we're going to do this evening is look at each of those three passages in order that we can remind ourselves and encourage ourselves with this truth that in Jesus Christ we can have a certain and a sure hope. So there are three things, therefore, that I want to tell you about hope in Jesus Christ. Here's the first one that I want to remind you of this evening. It's this: hope in Jesus Christ removes any despair. Hope in Jesus Christ removes any despair. I wonder if you've ever really been in despair. There'll be many of us here this evening who have never really experienced that yet. We've never really had that dark night of the soul, that time when it seems as though there really is no hope, that there really is nothing good that can come from a situation. Others of you have faced that. Others of you know what it's like to feel despair, to feel as though that life itself is going to leave and going to go. But hope in Christ removes any despair. Let me take you to the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter 1, to a time when the Apostle Paul felt despair, it would seem. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1 on page 1025.
And the Apostle Paul is recounting some of the experience that he's had as he's travelled around the Mediterranean there in the first century. And he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, page 1025, "We don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." Those of you who know something of the Apostle Paul will know some of the great difficulties that he had in his journey, some of the real trouble that he had, the fact that he'd been shipwrecked, the fact that, as we're told in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, he'd been hard-pressed, he was perplexed, he was persecuted, he was struck down. He had all these struggles, all these difficulties. He was put in prison. He was frequently in fear of his life. And he reflects now back on these situations. "We despaired even of life." Verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 1. "We have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us." You see, this is the God in whom Paul believed. This is what he's saying. This is what he's reminding of us. He's telling us, I was shipwrecked. I was put in prison. I was threatened with my life. I despaired even of life itself. I thought it very likely that I was going to die. That's Paul's message. And how does he respond in that? Well, remember, Paul is someone whose hope is in Jesus Christ. How does he respond? He has the sentence of death in ourselves. But this is what he says, end of verse 9. "We should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." You see, this is the difference that faith in Jesus Christ can make. Because faith in Jesus Christ doesn't say to us, look, don't worry, everything will be okay. Nothing will ever go wrong. That's not what faith in Jesus Christ says. There are some people who call themselves Christians who have this idea that as long as you have enough faith, then your life will be easy and you'll never have any difficulties. What planet are they living on? It's certainly not planet Earth. It's not the planet that the Bible speaks of. No, the Bible says that if you're a Christian, just as if you're a non-Christian, your life will have struggles and difficulties and problems. And there will come a time, maybe many occasions in your life, when you'll face even death itself. So how does the Christian respond to that? Well, the Apostle Paul has told us very clearly, isn't it? The Apostle Paul was able, can I put it like this, to look death in the eyes and to realize that he was utterly safe and utterly secure in Jesus Christ. In his earlier letter to 1 Corinthians in chapter 5, Paul was in chapter 15 rather of 1 Corinthians, Paul was able to explain this even more clearly. In verse 55 of that chapter, he says, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, hope in Christ removes any despair. Because when we have hope in Christ, we realize that death is not the end. When we have hope in Jesus Christ, we realize that this earth is only a tiny, tiny dot, as it were, on the great landscape of eternity. And we realize that our future is utterly secure in Him. So every one of us is facing death. For some of us, we believe, perhaps, it will be many decades ahead. For some, maybe, it's an awful lot closer. But whether we're young or old, whether we're ill or healthy, whatever situation we're in, we're able, if we have hope in Christ, not to be in despair, not to think that the end is coming, but to realize that in Christ we are secure, because Christ calls his people home. Do you remember that lovely verse in the Old Testament? "Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints." Isn't that a wonderful verse, a wonderful scripture that reminds us at the very moment when we're facing death itself, we have this calm, wonderful truth from God that he is looking to welcome his people home. And for a Christian, sometimes Paul certainly experienced this, doesn't he? It can give us that strange sensation. He spoke of this in Philippians, where he was in jail, he was uncertain about the future, and he was almost looking forward to maybe his life being taken, because he realized that to live is Christ, but to die is gain. That's the difference that hope in Jesus Christ can make. I wonder, are you able to say that with the Apostle Paul? To live is Christ, but to die is gain. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. You see, hope in Christ removes any despair. That's the first truth that I want you to remind you of from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's the second truth that I want to remind you of. Hope in Christ provides an anchor to the soul. Hope in Christ provides an anchor to the soul. I don't know how many of you have ever been boating or sailed. Some of you know that on a couple of holidays now, Sharon and I have hired a boat and gone off, not terribly adventurously, just on the Norfolk Broads, and at 4 miles an hour or 4 knots, we've chugged along the rivers. But every night you have to moor up. Now, some of you know Sharon very well, and let me tell you, you have to pay to moor on the Norfolk Broads. It must cost at least £2.50, I think, depending on where you are. Extortionate price. If you're there for a week, that could be almost £20. Now, if you know Sharon, she's not one to pay £20 unless she really has to. So here were my instructions. I'm never to moor anywhere where you have to pay when we're there on holiday. So what do? Well, we have to rely on the anchor of the boat. So we go somewhere on a river that looks like it's wide enough for other people to pass, so nobody will bump into us in the night. And there, I can't remember which way round it is, but the front of the boat and the back of the boat, there's a posh name, isn't there? Forgive me. The anchors go down. And I must admit, the first time that we did this, these anchors that really don't look as if they're going to hold the thing. There can be quite a strong current at times. You're not far from the North Sea at places. And we were a little nervous, so those anchors went down. And before we went to sleep at night, I went out and made sure the boat had not moved even a tiny little bit. That anchor that kept us. Now there, just on those little rivers, that was fine. I don't think I would trust that anchor in the sea. But there are, you see, these enormous anchors that some boats have, don't you? Huge anchors that come down from the side and grip the seabed. And they anchor that boat and hold it steady. And of course, for people in the first century who used ships often to travel long distances, this was an illustration that they could very easily relate to. And even those who fished maybe or had some other inland experience with boats, again, they could relate to it. So the Bible tells us, it's in the book of Hebrews and chapter 6 and verse 19. It's a verse that many of you know very well. We have this wonderful scripture that tells us this. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. This hope we have as an anchor to the soul. I think that's one of my favorite verses in the scripture. Is it one of yours too? That wonderful illustration. When we think of our souls, I don't know how you think of your soul. It's quite hard to think about your soul, isn't it? But I do know it's something that seems intangible, isn't it? Obviously, your soul is intangible. It's not something you can tie down. It's not something that you can grasp onto. It's not even something that you can see. And yet, we have this wonderful truth that this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. What's the image that the writer to the Hebrews is trying to get across? Well, it's very clear, isn't it, to all of us? The image is this, that we may be tossed to and fro in this life. There may be many worries, there may be many struggles, there may be many uncertainties. We may, as it were, be, it seems, in danger of drifting. But the hope in Jesus Christ that we have is an anchor to the soul. It keeps us. It protects us.
It stops us from drifting away. And what is this hope based on? Well, the earlier verses, just a few verses before that one, from verse 17, helps us to understand this better, because we're told there that God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, in other words, the fact that he doesn't change, God doesn't change, he confirmed the promise that if we had time we could read about earlier, he confirmed the promise with an oath, that by two immutable, unchangeable things, the promise and also the oath, with which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, those of us who have fled for refuge, to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. You see, this is the wonderful thing that God promises to us, that he promises to us this eternal security. And if we can have our hope in Jesus Christ, we will be kept secure in him. I wonder, do you know that assurance through your hope in Jesus Christ? Sometimes when we talk about hope, we can give the impression that it is something other than certain. But when the Bible speaks of hope, it's always something that is certain and sure and steadfast. So I want to ask you this evening, is your hope certain, secure, and steadfast? Is it an anchor to your soul? Does it keep you from drifting? Does it keep you established even through the storms of life? Because that's the hope that God himself offers. That's the hope that comes in Jesus Christ. And this is the wonderful thing, you see, that this anchor to the soul is something that is established on Jesus Christ himself. And because he is, what was the word that we used, immutable or unchangeable, immovable, then that gives us the security that we need. Again, when we were on that boat, there were times when we were anchored, as it were, not just to the riverbed, but we were anchored as well to the bank of the river. And we'd find something that couldn't move. And we would anchor ourselves to that. And we knew that because that couldn't move, then we couldn't move. And that's what the Christian does. The Christian knows that God is not going to move. He is immovable, immutable, unchangeable. And because he doesn't move, we're utterly secure in him. So hope in Christ removes any despair. Hope in Christ anchors the soul. And here's the final truth that I want to leave you with. Hope in Christ does not disappoint. Hope in Christ does not disappoint. As you reflect back on those hopes and dreams that maybe you had when you were younger, in some of them, I'm sure all of us will have been disappointed. There'll have been times in your life when you've put your hope maybe in a person and they've let you down. Perhaps you've put your hope in a government and they've let you down. Maybe you've put your hope in a football team and they've let you down. I think all of us probably will have put our hope in ourselves and let ourselves down, won't we? We've all done it. We all know that experience. That you learn disappointment at a very early age, don't you? Something we all know and we all experience. But the Bible teaches us very clearly that hope in Christ does not disappoint. Let me take you to Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 to help you to see this and to be reminded of it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. It's really clear for us. It's a verse that you can commit to memory. Here's what Paul says. He says, hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. Well, that's my point, isn't it? I'm just quoting scripture there. I'm not even adding anything to it. Hope does not disappoint. And the wonderful thing about Romans 5 verse 5 is that Paul then explains why hope doesn't disappoint. Isn't that wonderful that Paul explains it for us well? Here's his explanation. Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Why doesn't hope disappoint? Well, Paul is reminding us of many things in this verse. He's reminding us critically, foundationally, that the hope that he's speaking of is hope in God himself, not hope in ourselves, not hope that everything might turn out better maybe in the end, but it's specifically hope in God. That's why we read about the love of God. That's why we read about the Holy Spirit. It's why back in verse 1 we talk about this peace that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that hope, hope in God himself. And just as we've seen, because that hope in God is anchored and certain, therefore it does not disappoint. So what does God do to those whose hope is in him? How does God help us? How does God sustain us? How does God keep us? Are we chained, as it were, as maybe that anchor metaphor can give us the wrong impression? No, we're not chained. God does something more glorious than that, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. Do you know that experience of the love of God poured out into your hearts? Many of you, I know, at different times in your Christian life will reflect on all that you've received from God. You'll look back over your life and the ways in which God has kept you, the ways in which God has shown his mercy and his grace to you. Above everything, the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for you as he hung there on the cross. And you'll look back and you'll reflect on all these things. And you'll see how through perhaps even many decades, God has been with you every step of the way. And you'll just sit in wonder and be amazed at the love of God which he's lavished upon you. It's a wonderful thing to reflect on all that God has done. And when you do that, you realize that God has poured out his love into your heart, not in some small measure, but in a great measure. It's not been dribbled into your heart. It's been poured into your heart and overflowing, as it were, in its abundance. And you know that love of God. And in some ways that makes all the difference, doesn't it? To know that love of God. That you're not just a number, as it were. You're not just lost in a crowd and in a multitude. There certainly is a crowd and a multitude. We know from the book of Revelation that no one can count. But God knows every name. God knows every soul. And God knows every one of his own. And nothing in your life, no trouble, no difficulty, no worry, no sorrow, nothing escapes the attention of God himself. We know what the Lord Jesus himself taught us, don't we? That every sparrow, every hair on our head, God knows. And he knows your concerns, he knows your fears, he knows your troubles, he knows your joys and your sorrows. He knows all about you. And he loves you if you belong to him. He loves you. The love of God has been poured out in your hearts. And how does this happen? Well, it happens by the Holy Spirit who was given to you, given to every believer. Again, this is one of the wonderful truths that we read about in God's Word, and I think sometimes a truth that we don't make enough of. That at the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're given a whole series of wonderful gifts. Gifts of repentance, gifts of faith, gifts of forgiveness, gifts of peace with God. All of these wonderful things, but all of them are received through the same means. They're received through the Holy Spirit, God himself, the third person of the Trinity, who comes and dwells within us. Isn't that a wonderful gift of God? That he doesn't just give us things. He doesn't even just give us his love, but he gives us himself, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in our hearts. You know, if I really believe that, I do believe it, but if I really believe that, I would realize that God has given me everything that I need for life and godliness. I would realize that God has given me everything I need to be utterly secure and utterly assured in my faith. I would realize that God has given me everything I need to live a holy life that honors him in every way, because he really has, hasn't he? He's given us everything that we need. You see, hope in Jesus Christ removes any despair. Hope in Jesus Christ anchors the soul. Hope in Jesus Christ does not disappoint. And the reason that all those three things are true is that at the moment that we're converted, God does something definitive, absolute, and forever. Something happens at that moment. Our sins are forgiven. We're reconciled to God. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. That's something that is tangible, as it were. It's something that is makes an absolute difference in all of our lives if our faith is in God. And therefore, that brings about all of these things that we've spoken of. So let me close by asking you very simply, is your hope in Christ and in Him alone? Do you have this knowledge that Jesus Christ has died not just for the world, but He's died for your sins? Do you know that? And if you do, do you know that security that removes any despair, that security that anchors the soul, that security that does not disappoint, because you realize that not only does God love you, not only has Christ died for you, but the Holy Spirit dwells in you. We worship a wonderful Savior, don't we? We worship a Savior whose grace and generosity and mercy exceeds our wildest expectations. Whatever we hoped for in our teenage years, whatever we hoped for when we were younger, God goes far beyond anything we hoped for or even imagined. What a wonderful Savior we have. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a gracious and a kind and a merciful God. We thank you, Father, that you give to us more than we ever deserve. We thank you that you have shown your grace to us. We thank you that you're utterly trustworthy for the future. And Father God, we pray that you would help us in this. Help us, Lord, to believe it. Give us that anchor to the soul. And Father God, we pray that we would rest secure in you in all things. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.